Hey, writer, it's Andrea. If you've been grappling with a story you need to hone, or if you want to tell a story out loud without reading, I recently won a storytelling competition and I am so excited to share what I've learned. I'm hosting a workshop called From Page to Stage and Back to Page. It's on June 27th from 7 to 8:30 Eastern. You're invited, $75. Go to writingclassradio.com to join. It's gonna be so much fun. I'm Andrea Askowitz.
I'm Allison Langer, and this is Writing Class Radio. You'll hear true personal stories and learn how to write your own stories. Together, we produce this podcast, which is equal parts heart and art. By heart, we mean the truth in a story, and by art, we mean the craft of writing. No matter what's going on in our lives, Writing Class is where we tell the truth. It's where we work out our
shit.
There's no place in the world like Writing Class, and we want to bring you in.
Today on our show, we bring you a story by our very own Allison Langer. You may have read her story in Huffington Post, where it was published May 16th, 2023. In this episode, we want to debunk the idea that writing about the same thing over and over is boring. I want to say that it's absolutely essential to keep writing and keep writing until you work out your shit. And you will hear that that's what Allison did in her story after the break.
Have you ever thought, I'd love to have a podcast just like this one? Well, I can help. My name is Matt Kundle, and everyone at my company, the Sound Off Podcast Network, had a hand in making this show. Whether it was about the sound, the discoverability, or that you're just enjoying the show, we are all about the detail. If you think you have a podcast in you, reach out to me via email, matt@soundoff.network. Or check out the website and become one of the great podcasts we work with at soundoff.network.
Everyone has moments in life they just can't stop thinking about. Like that one time in middle school when you called your teacher mom. Yeah, that's not leaving your brain anytime soon. Or something amazing like the first time you really traveled and got to see how big and beautiful the world is. And on Baby, This is Kiki Palmer, hosted by me, Kiki Palmer, and presented by BMW, we know to savor the good memories and let go of the bad. And one thing everyone remembers fondly is their first time behind the wheel of a BMW. So come join me and BMW this summer as we explore pop culture moments and topics you just can't stop thinking about on Baby, This is Kiki Palmer, sponsored by BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
We're back. Here's Allison reading her story. My mom and I fought for 55 years. Now battling my son is making me rethink everything.
When my mom remarried, she pulled me into her closet and handed me a long flowy dress and silver flats. I was 30. I wanted to wear my navy dress and high heels. I said, I have an outfit. She said, it's my wedding. Can't you for once do what I ask? For 55 years, my mom and I have been at each other, constantly poking the soft spots and picking at scabs. She judged and gave unsolicited advice. I sassed and spoke my mind, often hurting her feelings. I wanted a mom who I could trust with my secrets instead of one who chided me when I came home drunk, then ratted me out to her manicurist. I wanted a mom who remembered my friends' names and invited me on girls' trips. Most of all, I wanted a mom who loved me no matter what. Looking back, I can see I wasn't the easiest kid to love. I was cruel. I'd like to say it was a 13-year-old thing, me trying to find my way beneath the awkwardness and self-doubt of adolescence. But my behavior was consistently horrible, well beyond the teenage years. Once again, my mom said, you've left your dirty pot in the sink. I rolled my eyes and walked to my room with a full plate. If you keep eating macaroni and cheese, she said, you're going to get fat. I said, mind your own business. I'm your mother. You are my business. I hate you, I screamed and slammed my bedroom door. She screamed back, I hope you have a kid just like you. This was the way we communicated. Change the subject from food to grades to friends to attitude. Nothing I did was good enough for my mom. At 24, my mom and dad divorced. One day, my mom invited me to lunch. She said she wanted to talk. As my mom got out of the car, she said, "Hey, don't you love my new shoes?" I said, "They look geriatric." I didn't care if I hurt her feelings. They were geriatric. At the table, she started in about my dad. When I put up my hand, she said, "Why won't you listen to my side?" I felt like a traitor at the mention of my dad. He was the parent I felt loved me unconditionally, like I thought a parent should. I stood up and smacked my palms down on the table. "I told you I didn't want to talk about this." And I stormed out of the restaurant. After that, we didn't speak for 6 months. At 36, when I had my first baby, I asked my mom not to come. 2 pregnancies later, we were in between fights, so I threw out the olive branch. In my hospital bed, I read the newspaper as I waited for the baby to do his thing. The doctor appeared when I was fully dilated. My mom sat between my legs. When I asked for privacy, she said, "I didn't come all this way to miss anything." Sloan, the last one, the one my mom watched emerge from my body, is 13 now. He rolls his eyes when I speak, lies to my face, and is mean like I was. I'm short-tempered and angry around him. I criticize his eating habits and judge his friends. Last week, I received yet another call from 2 of his teachers complaining about his behavior. When I confronted him, he stormed out of the kitchen and slammed his bedroom door. Before I could shut myself up, I yelled, "I hope you have a kid just like you." I don't need to wonder what I did to deserve this child. I know. He is just like me. Call it karma or call it genetics. According to a recent psych evaluation, my kid is struggling with real challenges, ADHD and ODD. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, I'd heard of, but oppositional defiance disorder was new to me. According to Johns Hopkins, children with ODD are uncooperative, defiant, and hostile towards peers, parents, teachers, and other authority figures. Before Sloan's diagnosis, I researched wilderness programs and military schools. I wanted him out. It may sound evil for a mom to say such a thing about her child, but a child with ODD is disruptive to the entire family. The house is tense. One sideways glance sets off a tantrum. What's left is the ugly side, the screaming, impatient, "I can't take this anymore" side. Research also suggests that genetics accounts for about 50% of the development of ODD. Shit, did I have ODD too? If so, I wonder if a diagnosis and therapy would have helped my mom and me all those years ago. Maybe we wouldn't have fought so much. Maybe we would have understood what the other was going through, but we didn't have those tools. Sloan's diagnosis dissolves some of the resentment and anger I feel toward him, but I'm bruised. Being his punching bag for 13 years has broken me. Being a punching bag for 55 years broke my mom too. Now I see she did the best she could with the child she was given. I feel hopeful that with a good therapist to help us, Sloan and I may learn how to communicate more effectively, and Sloan may learn the tools to navigate life without losing his patience or pissing people off. So I read this essay to Sloan. We were both in tears. He said, "Okay, I'll go to therapy with you, but can we talk about this now?" He reminded me of all the Mother's Days he woke up early to cut fresh flowers. Ugh. He really did that. He woke up. He wakes up every Mother's Day, okay, to cut fresh flowers and make coffee so I would feel special. He said, "Blake and Jackson don't do that." And I was seeing only the bad stuff, and he was right. "I promise to do better," I said. "I love you like crazy." "Me too," he said. When I read the essay to my mom, she said, "I've always loved you, Allie, even when you were nasty." Yeah. What I've started to understand is that maybe loving your kid unconditionally doesn't mean you take the hits and love anyway. Maybe it means you protect yourself, but leave the door slightly open for your kid to walk through when you're both ready and able. I think my mom always had an open door for me, but I was too angry and wounded to walk through it. I knew I wasn't the child she'd hoped for, but I wanted to be loved for who I was. I imagine she wanted the same. What I've learned is that I wasted valuable years, and for what? The reasons feel petty and pointless now. For 55 years, I focused on my mom's bad side. We all have one. Parenting a child just like me has forced me to focus on his good side. It has allowed me to understand my mom and to forgive her and myself. But time is running out. My mom has amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. ALS is a neurological disease that affects the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord. It mangles your body until you can't even swallow. 3 to 5 years is the typical survival rate, and ALS is always fatal. It's been 3 years since my mom was diagnosed. She just turned 80. Before the diagnosis, my mom was often mistaken for my sister. Her zip, intellect, and naturally flawless skin hid her age. The oil painting she expertly created with her now crooked and weak fingers lined the walls of her house, her clients' houses, my brother's house, and mine. Every time I visit, she's less and less mobile. She can't open a jar. She cannot pull up her exercise tights, so now she wears loose pants. Her arms and legs are twigs, and she has shrunk from a solid 5'4" to under 5 feet. She needs help walking up the stairs to her house. I know what's coming, and there is nothing I can do but sit with her, watch the cardinals take turns at the feeder, and wait for the family of deer who comes twice a day for the corn her husband spreads outside their kitchen window. I can show her she matters to me now and how much I love her. On my most recent visit, I was complaining about Sloan, and she gave me advice like she always does. She said, "Therapy and patience, he'll come around." I listened, knowing she might just know what she's talking about. Maybe it made her feel good to know I'm going through the same hell she went through, but I don't think so. She looked at me with compassion, not satisfaction, and I started to cry. "I'm sorry," she said, "you'll get through this." I said, "I'm sorry for being such a tough kid." On the way out to lunch, she looked at my frilly skirt, white t-shirt, and gray cashmere sweater. Then she looked down at my white sneakers. "Would you like to borrow some shoes?" I didn't make a mean comment about her flats. She didn't insist I follow her into her closet and hold me hostage until I acquiesced. No, this time I laughed. "Thanks, Mom, I'm good." A few seconds passed as we stared at each other. There was a softness in her eyes. For the first time in my life, I wanted to push the pause button on my relationship with my mom. I wanted to slow down and enjoy her. I smiled and she smiled, and then we turned to go. And that was that. Oh my God. I'm so emotional because it's like a year later and it's so much worse with her. Obviously, so much better with Sloan, but yeah, it's brutal.
It's such a beautiful story. Oh my God. I teared up a bunch of times. I fucking love it. I mean, it's like, this is a hard story for me to just talk about as a story because I mean, we've been friends since Sloan was 7 months old. So I've watched this whole process, and I've watched you write stories about this. But this time, this is true. It's so true. Like, I know that you and Sloan are in a different place now. I know that you and your mom are in a different place now, which is so interesting to see because I don't know. I feel like you've always written true stories. You always do. And I don't know. I feel like there may have been a story like this a few years ago where the hope for this kind of connection and understanding of you being the child and now you being the mother to the same child that is like you. But this time, you nailed it.
Thank you.
I mean, God.
It's interesting that you say, though, that I've written about it because I think we have a lot of students in our classes that often say they're writing about the same thing. And even last night when we were all out at your show, you know, with Sue Shapiro and the whole thing and the book publishing, and we were at Books and Books. And well, I'm saying it just because, you know, obviously, but our listeners don't. A bunch of our students showed up to listen and be there with us. And they were like, I don't have anything to write about, you know, because I was like, come back to class. And they're like, ah, I'm so boring. And I was, you know, I think sometimes we think we're boring and we think we're writing about the same thing. But I think Danny Shapiro said this, you write about what you know in the moment, and then it might change and it might come out as a different story with a different meaning. So I do think that that's probably what happened here.
That, and there's been this situation that you've needed to work out. So it's like something has been like nagging at you bad for all these years, obviously, like your relationship with your mom and your relationship with Sloan. One thing that I love so much about your writing, because it's totally an example of why writing is therapy. I know this is a controversial thing to say, but when, and I learned this the other day from Steve Almond, basically he says, and what you're doing is you're writing until you have full compassion for every character in the story, including you, the narrator. And so you have come to that. I am so proud of you. I don't know. Is that condescending? I am. I love it. I feel like you've done that. You've been writing and writing this thing until you got to this total compassionate moment. You're hard on yourself, but I think you also understand you, the narrator.
Yeah.
God.
You know, now that we're talking about it, I mean, Sloan basically, like shortly after this was published, things started to turn around a little bit. And I think it might have had something to do with us sitting and talking about it and really discussing it and putting it out on paper and him seeing it and him being able to tell me how he feels, you know, and my mom too, like, you know, she's a little bit less willing to change, especially at this time and with her disease and everything. I think just putting it out there on the open and is super helpful for a relationship.
The scene in this story where you read this essay to him, I'm just imagining he's just sitting there listening. Cannot be easy. He's totally open. He says, yes, I'll go to therapy with you, but can we just talk about this? And then he reminds you of the beautiful parts of him. And that was just one of the things. Mm-hmm. I mean, he makes you coffee and brings you flowers, but he makes you dinner all the time. I mean, he's different than your other kids. He is nurturing.
Yeah.
He is the one that's like love pouring out. So God, that moment was so beautiful.
And I just want to shout out to him because he turned his whole life around. He got on started eating differently, exercising, you know, cut the sugar, like just really tried to do really good things for his brain and his body. And then the ODD, I have not seen in a year. The ADHD, yeah, I mean, he still would rather be doing anything other than his work, but he's making all A's and B's. The kid was making D's and F's. I just think that it's a testament to our children that they're stronger than we think. But also if we can just stick it out, you know, if I had known that he would turn it around, maybe I could have gotten through it, but we never know.
I think it's a testament to you and to writing. Okay. I think it's you for pushing and pushing and for asking yourself what the fuck is going on, which is what every essay is. Why is this happening? Why am I acting this way? Where did this come from? Is it because of my mom? Is it because of my relationship with my mom? Am I the same? I mean, that whole like, I hope you have a kid exactly like you. Like, I mean, you've been asking that question about, is he that kid? And yeah, so you kept asking, I don't know. I think it's you. Mm-hmm. I love this narrator. I mean, should I even go through it or is that the lesson here? The lesson is like, it's okay to keep writing the same thing because there's obviously something we need to work out.
Yeah, I think that's a good lesson.
And even if you've written some of these little pieces, like I've heard some of these in old essays, and I want to say that to our listener. Some people are like very self-conscious about using a scene that they've already written. That's your material. The moment where your mom wants you to change your shoes or wants you to wear the outfit she wants you to wear for her wedding. Like, that's come up in other stories because it's a really great example of your mom trying to make you someone you're not. Or that's a great example of your mom being pushy, and that's a great example of you pushing back. So that's why you use it. So it's okay. You can use the same material. And like Danny Shapiro says, you're using that material in a different way now because you're standing in a different place in time. Fucking gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have to say that it's also published in the Huffington Post, and Noah Michelson.
It might be Mickelson. Noah from the Huffington Post is the most amazing editor that we love him.
And they actually did like a series of this. So like they had me do videos that to put on their Instagram of me telling like a summary of this stuff, like half and half. So that was kind of fun because I guess it got a lot of hits. But it's funny because I did run into a lot of friends and people who called me or like ran into me and said, oh my God, I have a kid just like that. This really helped. Like everybody wanted to help. Everyone wanted to tell me I was going to get through it, that their kids are awesome now. Like it's amazing that putting your story out there just brings the community toward you, which is really cool.
And didn't people come to you on both levels? Like one, because you're the mom of this son, and also the mom, your mom isn't well right now. So didn't a ton of people come to you and be like, oh my God, I'm in that situation too?
Yes.
There's something I noticed. I did underline everything and have tons of exclamation points.
Aww.
You keep the door open. That really hit me. Doesn't mean you take the hits, but you just keep the door open. And then your mom might've had the door open. Ah, I love how you understand your mom. Thank you so much, Allison Langer, for telling the story. And thank you, Noah Mickelson, for publishing in the Huffington Post. And thank you for listening.
Writing Class Radio is hosted by me, Allison Langer.
And me, Andrea Askowitz.
Audio production by Matt Kundel, Evan Serminski, and Aiden Glassy at the Sound Off Media Company. Theme music is by Justina Shamler. There's more Writing Class on our website, including stories we study, editing resources, video classes, writing retreats, and live online classes. If you want to write with us every week, or if you're a business owner, community activist, group that needs healing, entrepreneur, and you want to help your team write better, check out all the classes we offer on our website, writingclassradio.com. Join the community that comes together for instruction, an excuse to write, and the support from other writers. To learn more, go to our website or patreon.com/writingclassradio. A new episode will drop every other Wednesday.
There's no better way to understand ourselves and each other than writing and sharing our stories. Everyone has a story. What's yours?
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.